Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Tinkin Kevin and well Sarah.
Wow.
I know it. I know it.
Boom. I have a question.
And Jane's not here.
No, Jane's still not here. Where do we get that tagline from at the beginning? This spouting off the news to those who drink from the well. Did we get that from a fan or did we make that up ourselves?
I think we made that up ourselves.
Oh, I think it's great.
You really do?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was sitting thinking, where did we get that from? Did we make that up?
I think it's great.
I think it's great.
I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Christian, where'd you get that maroon V-neck?
No, I think it's great.
Because I think it's great.
I got a bit of a beef before we get into this week's episode.
Oh, wow.
All right, because this week we've got a great episode. We're going to interview Dave Johnson, our audio director.
Engineer. Yeah.
And Dave's just going to fill us in on what's going on in his life and also the life behind all the worship music that you've been basically hearing that's coming out for free on the website. And we'll also have a sermon discussion about PJ's sermon yesterday on 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. But before we get into that,
here comes the beef.
I got a beef from a fan named Daniel Pernes, I don't know how you say
Daniel,
his last name.
How do we say your last name?
But he said, hey guys, just finished listening to episode 20. Where Christian was gone.
Oh, yeah. That was a great episode.
And I just want to say, great job, Sarah and Megan did holding down the fort. Kevin, you are hilarious, as always. Christian, you should really consider giving the girls a little more airtime because they do a great job.
I did tell Megan Jade about that email this weekend. She was pretty pumped.
Look, guys, I don't talk a lot, okay?
But you talk louder. God.
Now, here's the deal.
Yelling.
Radio, you can't have silence, okay? And I just don't like silence. So whenever it gets silence, I feel the need to talk.
So then you do talk a lot. But you're not giving us a chance to fill the silence. You're beating us to it.
This is sad. This is sad.
I feel like you made up a fake Gmail name.
My name is Daniel Prius or whatever.
Yeah, his
name.
You're like,
look, guys.
You're like, my name's, you flip to the Bible, it'll Daniel. And then you see a Prius drive. Prius.
I think it's.
The girls did a great job.
You should consider letting them take
now,
over.
Here's the thing. I read that email. I was like, was that supposed to be a compliment? Because I really was like bummed afterwards.
Well,
really?
I mean, do you remember that episode was really tough because me and Megan realized we don't know how to have direction in the show. And you're like, you keep us on track. So we learned how much we need Christian.
Dave is here every single week. I'm going to have Dave come in here and I'm going to ask him, do I talk that much? We'll see what he says.
Are you prepared to hear a big
yes? I'm prepared to hear.
The compressor's working overtime on your mic. He's constantly twisting the knob, trying to get the levels right. The fader's going up and down.
Well, we got a good episode this week. This week's music is from a musical artiste named Jonesy. I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy.
No.
Basically, there's a movie out there called The Secret World of Arrietty. And I know it's like a anime movie that just came out recently, and the trailer has this song that just melts my heart every single time. So I went and bought the album and I love it. So
I love it.
So it's good stuff. And also we got sermon discussion, interview with Dave Johnson. Kevin, what are you gonna say?
I wanted to say that this is not all the time, but I've really appreciated listening to the spout because it actually has introduced me to some music that I've liked that I'd never heard of before.
Oh, like what?
I got a lot of feedback last week that was the worst music I've ever played on the show. So,
wait, what music was it?
The Rocket Summer.
Oh, well, I feel like he's an acquired taste.
All right.
Well, I was going to reference that one as well. There's been a couple. Your running mix had some good stuff
that's
on it.
Jane. Jane made up that mix.
Okay. So there's been some good stuff.
Yeah,
though.
No, totally.
I make fun of you for liking things all the time. So, but it's been really good.
I still haven't played O-Town on here, so maybe I'll have to bring that back.
I think you need to do what I love that everybody else dislikes.
Yeah.
All right, one of these weeks I'll do songs that I love that everybody else
hates. Can we all have a week? Because
that'd be super fun.
We all have songs that everyone else hates, but we love them.
Mine
Kevin,
are going to be like 23
You can't
opuses.
Play R. Kelly Trapped in the Closet, though.
Okay? Oh, come on.
Mine are going to be all show tunes.
All right, guys.
I'm not kidding.
I know.
Stay tuned for some sermon discussion. We'll be right back.
Lord, doing the same thing. When he speaks here, when he says, you know, hey, don't be deceived, you know, all these people or this kind of person or who these people are don't inherit the kingdom of God. It's not about, oh, well, if you do these certain things, that's the problem. It's just that a lifestyle that's like this and a desire to just keep on living that lifestyle is just showing that there's a deeper problem, that really maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus in the first place, and that's what's keeping you out of the kingdom of heaven, is not having the right kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it always is. So maybe a question for ourselves is go, okay, and it's for you to evaluate yourself, for you to say, okay, has my life, when I came to Jesus, was there any kind of change? The Bible doesn't show anything. It doesn't show anything of somebody who came and really honestly came to Jesus, put their faith in him, and then just went on and was the same kind of person. It doesn't even show that ever. And yet they exist today? Don't deceive yourself. Don't be deceived. And you go, well, hold it, but there was a decision. Yes, there was a decision. But it wasn't the decision. It wasn't the decision. The decision that somebody actually comes to Jesus Christ after looking at their life and saying, I cannot do this myself. I am incapable of it. I'm totally lost and a slave of sin. And so I'm going to hand my life over to Jesus who did everything for me to save me. And I accept him and I trust him as my Lord and Savior. And I hand my life over to him by faith. I'm telling you, somebody who honestly does that, there's no way they won't change.
That was a clip from PJ's sermon from this past week out of 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And we actually did not get the chance to discuss 1 Corinthians 6, I think 1 through 8. Mm-hmm. But this sermon basically started out with this concept from 1 through 8 of let's not go to church, let's be the church. Mm-hmm. And then this PJ sermon sparked from that. Kind of starting with this idea of we are not just a building of people that come, but we are the church outside of this. And what are our lives representing? And did we make a decision 5 years ago and we've just been coming to church, or did we make the decision and that decision has therefore then changed our life for the future? And we have, yes, we do sin, but we aren't sinners. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of basically where he went with the whole thing. Sarah brought a whole bunch of notes that she wrote down. So
a whole book of them.
Yeah.
No, I wrote down stuff that I thought was, I don't know, worthwhile. Okay. Well, I'm not prepared. Someone else share. I need to pick out which would be a good one.
Well, I wanted to share. There was a point at which he was saying heaven's going to be really lonely.
Oh yeah, that was great.
It was funny because I
basically the concept behind that was he was saying if we're all held to the standards that basically Paul writes in verse 9, then nobody's going to be in heaven except Christ.
Right. I got frustrated and was kind of I was making a whole backstory to what I saw. I was sitting in the back of the church because I played drums and in the 7. And he was talking about the reads the verse about homosexuals being sinned. A sin and whatnot, and then he starts, you know, mocking somebody. There it is. Homosexuals are sinners. They're going to hell.
Right.
And this guy, about probably like 10 rows in front of me, while he's saying this, right after he says this, is looking at her, and he's kind of like, I can see his hands going.
He's looking at who?
He's looking at his girlfriend. Okay. The girl that he's sitting next to, and he's using his hands, and I'm like, whoa. And like he's like, what? You know, he's nodding his head vigorously, and then he gets up and leaves.
Oh wow.
And I was like, oh man. And then he got to the door and PJ got to the part where he says, you know, well, heaven's gonna be real lonely because, you know, we're all got issues. And the guy kind of stands and turns around, he goes back to his seat.
Wow.
So I didn't know like what was happening if like he thought, see, I'm in another church where there's gonna be gay bashing.
Well, yeah, and I mean definitely that if you even read just that scripture, that's how it sets it up. You're like, there's gotta be something beyond this, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And verse 9, it almost feels like there's no hope, but then 10 and 11, there is. That's interesting that he
literally lived that feeling. He's I'm out of here. This is there's hope.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go sit back down. He went and sat back with his girlfriend, put his arm around her. I was like, gosh, what happened?
Wow.
I want to know the dynamic. I want to know if you know, maybe it was something completely different. Maybe his phone rang and then he missed the call.
But I think that you bring up an interesting point, mm-hmm. is that, I mean, people take stuff out of context all the time. Let's mm-hmm. just say this verse, and it's like, yeah, see, look, God hates the homosexuals, or God hates thieves. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, you didn't finish the whole thing.
It says wrongdoers.
Yeah.
Period.
Right. And
then
everybody.
He lists everything off specifically. He's like, oh, well, I guess that's everyone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was, I think, a good choice on PJ's part, actually, because I think it wraps people in. It hooks people. Absolutely. And they're like, what the heck? Like, so but the point is, we all deserve hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is hope in Christ. And you did make a decision. Mm-hmm. And I love he used the analogy of like the plumber.
Yeah.
And
I plumb, but I do not, I am not,
I am not a plumber. Yeah. And it's like, I sin, but I am not like a sinner. I am one with Christ. I'm in a relationship with Christ. I made the decisions. That's just a good thing that if you're listening, I think PJ is good at analogies, and you're just listening, you're like, I can relate to that. Yeah. I can understand that. Yeah. Yes. I have stolen something. Yes. I have been buzzed before, or yes, mm-hmm. whatever that may be, but is that who I am as a core? No, I have a relationship with Christ.
There was a couple things that I loved, that being like, where's your identity? Like, right. Our identity, like, do you see yourself as a saint, like by the grace of God, or do you see yourself as a sinner? Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I just saw myself, I'm just a sinner trying to be godly. But in reality, we're already saints, and right. we're taking off our flesh and taking off like our sin. And so it's a good question to ask yourself, how do you see yourself? And so I love that he said that. And then something that I also love that he said is, like, the issue isn't necessarily the lifestyle that you're leaving. It's what that lifestyle is indicating.
Right.
So, like, if I see someone, or if I'm struggling with something, instead of getting, like, really down on myself for, like, you know, like gossip or whatever, like, oh, Sarah, you got to knock it off. Like, the issue isn't gossiping. The issue is, what does that mean that's going on in my heart? Mm-hmm. And so when I see other people struggling, like, you know, a friend just drinking all the time, and it's not about the drinking. It's the, okay, what's really going on that's causing her to want to drink, you know? Right. And that's such a good reminder, because it's not about externals. I mean, sure, we shouldn't do things, but it's all because it's a reflection of what's happening in our hearts and what are we trying to fill in mm-hmm. our heart.
And I think it's a reflection of where you're at with Christ. Where's mm-hmm. your relationship at with Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go for it.
Well, he said. I really liked him giving the definition of sanctification. And what
right.
that means is to fulfill the purpose for which you were made.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really good. And then I was just like, you know, well, am I doing that? Like, you know, and which is a question I feel like I'm asking myself a lot. But to have that, you know, so blunt, like a chair is sanctified to be sat on, you know, and
you know what's funny is like, I heard that and I completely agree with it. I'm all on board with it, but it's like I did have a thought where I think you're familiar with like Penn Jillette, right? Penn and Teller.
You know,
he's like a pretty world-renowned atheist, mm-hmm. and obviously he has no belief in God. And so I remember hearing an interview or some sort of podcast or some sort of video. I don't know what it was, but essentially a guy was like, God, he told him, he was like, you're intended like to be in a relationship with God. God created you to be in a relationship with him. And to him, it was like, no, he did not. You know what I mean? Like, because he doesn't believe that.
Right.
So I'm wondering how you can communicate something like that, where it's like, if somebody doesn't even, I mean, it's so tough to communicate that to a non-believer.
To tell them that their purpose is for something that they don't even believe in.
Right. So we talked about my friend Johnny a couple of weeks ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do we communicate? Like, look, God created you and your intended purpose is to be in relationship with him. How do you communicate that with, I don't know, it's like, it's tough because they can't hear that. They can't hear that side of it. And I just remember him saying like, look, dude, if you're trying to evangelize to me, like, I don't even believe in your God. So like that sanctification piece isn't going to work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So just a question I had when I was listening to that.
So maybe that part of the conversation isn't for your non-believing friend, but maybe just for like
right.
here or something. Yeah.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
Another thing he brought up in the sermon was the car wash analogy. Did you guys get
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
PJ flying with the analogies last night.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
You know, I think PJ's a fan of the show secretly. I really do. I think when he gives a sermon, he listens to the show. I'm pretty
pumped. He should.
Shout out.
Yeah. Has there been any indication of that?
Yeah, he said a couple things to me, but I think he, like, doesn't want to be a fan.
PJ, we found you out, bud.
But
no more hiding.
That's right. Now, he did make the car wash analogy. Just essentially, like, it's like, look, God did the work. Like, God is the one who is in charge of your life. He's the one who created you to be in relationship with him. It's nothing you did. It's nothing you do to deserve Christ's love, to deserve Christ dying for you and your sins. That was just, I think, a good way of putting it, of just like, look, you're not the one washing your car. The car wash is the one that did it. And people are going to look at your life and go, man, that person's totally different. Mm-hmm. That person's doing great in their life. They got things going on. They got a great family, a good marriage. And it's like, well, it's not me. It's God, you know? And so I think that was just a good reminder altogether.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of the gospel, is that we have no part in it. It's all Christ. What do you call it? The Jesus wash?
Yeah, he did call it the Jesus wash.
Old Christianese cheesy humor right
the
there.
7 o'clock, they chuckled.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's
good. They did at the 7 at least, and the 5, they did do communion. Did they do communion when you guys went?
Yep.
I think that was a great sermon to do communion on. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Deepersuit came up after on the 7, and he did a great job of really tying the message in and really like talking about what communion was. And we've talked about communion here before, but it was just like, if you were at the 7, there was just this like sense of, this is great. You know what I mean? Like you felt like, oh, I need to remember Christ. I am so thankful for Christ. I'm so thankful that there was communion in that moment, just to feel a part of the body, and also just really take a moment to remember Christ, remember what Christ has done. And it was just like, I was just belting out in worship during that communion. I just felt like it was very perfectly timed on the
wall. And the worship set was so great.
Did you go to the 5 and the 7?
Yeah, I went to the 5. Yeah.
Okay.
That was so good. Way to hit those drums.
7 did have some guitar problems, though. Not going to lie. What's up?
Oh, I think there was something that was slightly unplugged, and it goes.
No, it was great. I love With Everything. That's a great song. And you guys introduced a new one as well.
Yeah, we did. I always remembered by the first lyric in the song. We did a new song, and we actually led from the. No, we didn't. What we did that I liked is we went from one song right into another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we went right into Everything after.
That was great.
I never know song titles. I'm horrible.
That's right, dude.
It's the one with the guitar, and it's like, right?
That's
totally.
It. That's the one.
Well, hey, if you haven't checked out PJ's message from this past week, you can check it out online at thewellcommunity.org. Up next, we are going to interview Dave Johnson, and we're just going to chat.
I think we should say something right now for PJ, and then you'll say this word to him and see how he responds, and you'll know.
Yes.
Hey, PJ, do you know about Dracula leg warmers?
Is that it? Hamster socks.
Hamster socks. Dracula leg warmers.
Dracula, they're one and the same, aren't they?
Dracula leg warmers.
Let's just say it to him.
I will ask him tomorrow.
If he gets a twinkle,
he's in Hawaii right now.
Oh, shoot.
He's going to be there for the next couple weeks, so who knows if he's going to listen.
We'll see. So if you guys ever see PJ, say, hey, do you know about Dracula leg warmers?
Yes.
He'd be thoroughly confused.
Well, he might not be.
Yeah, that's right. He might not be. All right. Up next, we got an interview with Dave Johnson. Stay tuned for that and enjoy some more Jonesy.
I see the walls and see them fall. You break through them all. I see you crawl. Now you stand tall. Grow and grow till tall. Scream against the stream, her eyes watering. Jump into lakes, the surface breaks. We swim underwater, and I'm out into you.
All right, we are back, and we are here with audio engineer, specialist, and probably one of the biggest fans of the Spoutcast.
I would like to say that I'm the number one fan, because just for the reason that I listened to the Spoutcast before anyone does.
That is true.
That is very true.
Here's the order of how it goes.
It's literally not possible to listen to the Spoutcast before I do.
That's right.
You're right.
It goes, Dave Johnson listens to the Spoutcast. Then Chris Hensley listens to this podcast because he literally, I believe, is clicking refresh on his computer, waiting for it to turn on.
Chris, why don't you write in emails? Come on. Yeah, make yourself known.
Chris likes to be a secret fan.
Yeah, he's a secret fan. Mm-hmm. He really is. But he will send me a text every once in a while. Like, remember that episode I farted on?
Yeah.
He sent me a text episode and he was like, hey, man, you know where I can get some gas? And I thought it was really funny.
He's got jokes. Man.
He does.
So, Dave, welcome back to the show. Is this your third time on or second?
Second time.
Okay.
I wasn't here the first time. I think I was out of town.
Weren't you?
No, I think it was me and Megan, and we talked to you about Academy, correct?
Yeah.
Residency. Yeah.
Maybe you weren't here.
Nope, I wasn't. I think I was someplace
else. That was back in the
April because
you know
what
it probably was? It was probably before episode 20 when these guys took over the show when I talked all the time.
It was definitely before that because I was present.
Now, Dave, honestly, before we get into it, do I talk
a
lot?
No, we're about to get into it right now.
Burning questions.
Do I talk a lot?
Yeah.
Kinda. Oh, say that. I'm sorry. What was it?
But to be fair, I think, you know.
I'm listening.
As you like to call yourself. You know, when no one else is around, you are the boss. So I figured that the boss would talk the most.
Kevin, how do you feel about that?
It's true.
No, we're supposed to revolt.
Oh, yeah. No, man.
I'm just kidding. You don't actually call yourself that.
No, it's okay. He is.
I think that you talk a good amount, but I don't think it's too much.
All right.
I think it's a goodly amount of that.
Yeah.
I'll tone it back.
No, it's fine. You're like the host. So it's, and we're your co-hosts.
But see, I don't like that. We're family here, okay?
Well,
we're a life group here.
Right, we are. Okay.
You know, sometimes Sarah calls the Spoutcast the life group, and I always go, I wonder how that feels for Dave. Imagine being in a life group and then sitting in the other room.
I'm like
listening
eternally at the little kids' table.
It's like totally.
I
think it's so funny.
So
but
funny.
I got some stuff to
I contribute
say.
Every now and then with my thumbs up through the window.
That's true. You see, you participate.
Yeah,
I try
for those
to like, make faces. No one looks.
It's yeah, great. For those of you guys who've just started listening, Dave Johnson has literally been around since episode 5 or 6, and he has been in here faithfully each week, pushing record for us and helping us out with some engineering on the back end of things, bringing you a solid product each week.
And there's a big difference between like before we had Dave Johnson to after, because
oh, yes.
Before it was the volume was weird, it was like scratchy, and then Dave came in, just fixed everything.
Fixed us right up.
I make things unscratchy.
This is literally the conversation Dave and I had. He came in after episode 5 or whatever, and he says, the show's horrible. It's got to change.
I don't think that's quite what I said.
Now, Dave, next week we're going to be talking with Chris Beery about kind of a new song that he came out with on kind of the Well's been putting out these music mm-hmm. tracks. Mm-hmm. I guess this will be number 3. Chris Beery will come out with number 3, but we've had 2 so far. Mm-hmm. Kingdom Come and Invitation.
You could say I'm intimately familiar with.
Right. Three. Yes. Yes. Now you are also doing the engineering for those songs as well, correct?
Yep. Sure am.
And how's that process going?
It's good. We work in here on Wednesdays and sometimes Thursdays, just depending. But it's good. It's a lot slower pace than doing the whole record of, or album of 10 songs. So it's kind of nice in that sense. But yeah, it's been good. It's interesting seeing 3 different sort of creative minds trying to like work together, and they work pretty well together for the most part. So it's just kind of interesting seeing that dynamic. But I think it's good. They're coming out with good stuff.
Do you feel like? And this is me asking on a personal level. It's like, I think this is going to sound bad, but like, I like to
just,
I like to be more of the on stage guy or whatever. And I'm trying to work on like, hey, I want to be in the background and let other people shine and let other people mm-hmm. do their thing. I feel like your job here in the studio is very much you don't get much credit for what you do. Would you say that's true?
I don't know.
That's
I guess.
Kind of a funny question to ask him, yeah. Because if he says, yeah, I don't get much credit.
No, okay, sorry. Like,
or no, I get a lot of credit.
No, like, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I can identify with what you're, yeah. Like a lot of people don't realize
like, how much work goes
Goes into things, or what's required to make something the way it is, or, you know, they notice it when it's bad.
Yeah.
Not so much when it's good.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way the world of audio.
How do you deal with that?
It's fine. It's just part of the thing. It's not, I don't do this for accolades or, you know, rewards and stuff. It's, I do it because I love it and it's my passion. And fortunately, it's also my job. So can't complain there.
But even on a Sunday, like when one thing goes wrong or whatever, it's like, hey, Dave Sather or Dave Johnson, what's up? But you never get the, horse was great today, man. It was awesome.
Well, it's kind of an understood thing in the world that I work in, is that usually if no one says anything, you did a good job. So just, that's just what you get used to. So it's all good.
What is your, do you work on Sundays, like at the services?
Yeah, I work every Sunday.
What's your, what's your role on Sunday morning?
Well, for the last 4 months, maybe 3 months, I've run sound for the North AM services every week. With the exception of this past Sunday, it was the first one I haven't had to, but, so I run sound for the morning, but if I'm not running sound, someone else is, I kind of help oversee that there's audio, there's slides and there's lights, and making sure all that gets, handled appropriately and transitions happen on time, and there's no, our job is basically to let the service happen without causing distractions, and so we want to make sure that things are smooth and on time and that kind of thing.
Kevin, do you enjoy it when Dave does your guys' sound mixing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I hate it.
Well, I'm going somewhere with this.
There's two people that I really enjoy. Actually, I shouldn't say this at all, but Dave asks about the drums, and I, and Mike Stevens also does that. Mike gets a little crazy because he loves drums, because he's literally, his name's literally Crazy Mike. So
right, yeah, that's his birth name.
Yeah, it's on its
no chance of not being crazy. I mean, yeah, it's his name, so.
But yeah, no, it's nice too, because the thing that I love about Dave behind the soundboard is he will say stuff about the what we're doing on stage. Hey, hey guys, I noticed you're not all hitting the same chord there.
That's my stage. That's my behind the board talk.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that he will not only like turn you guys up and down, but he'll also go, hey, you guys missed a chord there. You guys,
yeah.
Kevin, you should do a fill there or something like that.
Yeah. There'll actually be a contribution from outside and from on the stage and in our ears to hear what we hear, you know, inner ears meaning in our monitors, is way different than what is heard out front. So to have somebody on the outside being an advocate for the sound and being like, hey, you can do something up there that's going to make it sound better out here, is really nice. And I think that's because Dave's a musician. You know, he's an awesome musician.
Oh. Does that transition into the studio as well? Do you feel like you're, when you hear something out there, it's like, hey, let's try that again? Mm-hmm. Or who kind of has a final say in what that sounds like, you or the artist?
In the studio?
Yeah.
Like here at the well? I'd like to say that Dom has the final say as like executive producer or whatever.
But right.
He's very open to suggestions and he doesn't want it to be like a regime of any sort.
Right. But I think you're hearing from the computer angle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. We all contribute to it. I sometimes have suggestions or, hey, maybe we should try this or switch this chord up or, you know, half as long on that or whatever. And
Lacey, she always tells me, she goes, I really like it when Dave does sound. Not to say that other people, she likes most everybody that does sound. She's just like, I just really like it when Dave does sound. So maybe she means Sather, but you know, it's like, what?
Well, I appreciate that. I think with her, like, and with most people, is like, if the more comfortable you are with the person that's in charge of how you sound to everyone that's going to be there, if you have a good comfort level with those people, with that person, you're going to feel more comfortable on stage and be able to perform, you know, better and more relaxed and not having to worry about, this is one less thing to worry about when you're trying, like, is this the right word? Am I on, you know, in tune or, you know, it's like, I don't even have to worry about how it sounds because I trust them.
That is like so interesting because Lacey did this like Christian artist competition a while ago and like she like had to sing and her monitor levels were off. Mm-hmm. And I just remember her going like, I don't know these people. I don't know. I can't tell them to turn my monitor way up or like, it's weird, you know, but she trusts you and she's able to say to you like, hey, can you turn my monitor up? Or like, hey, I like something's off here or whatever. And so that's totally interesting. It's good to have a sound guy that you feel comfortable with as a part of a team. So Sarah, you were going to ask a question. I cut you off because apparently I talk too much, but go for it.
I have a question, but I don't know if this is the same one. This has nothing to do with audio engineering, but I just didn't know, like, how long have you been going to the well? I don't know much about personal life of Dave Johnson.
Well, I do try to keep it a secret. No, I started attending the well in the summer of 2007. It was right before the North Campus like opened. I think the well had already gotten it, but hadn't finished the renovation and stuff. And I was working at, was volunteering at a little church that southeast side of town, and I was kind of their tech director, but not on staff, but I was just helping out. And it was a pretty major struggle, like every week with, like, I had just moved here from Nashville, so I'm used to, like, everyone and their mom is, like, ridiculous, you know, musicians. And
right.
These people have great hearts, but they're not, you know, music isn't what they do. So it was just frustrating trying to coach them and also training sound people. Anyway, so the first time I came to the well, it was, I didn't know this, but it was a completely just worship service, like, on purpose. They didn't have a message or anything. It was meant to be that way. And I remember walking in and it was just like, I don't have to do anything. I can just be a normal guy and just, this is going to be great. And then it was like just awesome worship. And like the whole thing was that. And just like, this is awesome, you know? And so ever since then, I've just been like wanting to come back. So,
Kevin, were you around for that all worship service?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was awesome.
Yeah, can we have that again?
Yeah, what's the deal?
No, we cannot have that again.
Kevin!
We can't. It's one of those things that they've talked about a million times. People will bring up, that was really great. And then people will say, yeah, it was. We're never going to do it again. I don't know why, but it's never going to happen again.
It's actually against Kevin's contract.
I want to do it. There's all kinds of stuff I want to do, but I'm not in charge. So, but yeah, I don't think they'll be doing one again.
You're not in charge?
No, I know, right?
Wow.
It looks like I'm in charge.
Mind blown.
Yeah, but, you know.
Was that the first and only time they ever did that, or they used to do a bunch of them?
We used to do that. We used to do that a lot.
I think I remember one additional time after that, but I'm not sure.
We did a thing called a faceless service one time.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember the faceless service. I was there for that.
I think that's what this was. But I think we did one more. But I don't remember if there was teaching as well. But the worship was intentionally like behind the screen. And stuff.
Yeah, it was long. I think we did two faceless services. This is a long, long time ago. But yeah, it was good times. I, of course, I'm a musician, so I love, I love all worship stuff. Right. So, but. So you live in Nashville?
I did for 5 years.
And you're just like, you know what? You know, I feel like, you know, it's a great music
peace
scene.
Peace out. I'm going to Fresno.
But Fresno's really got where it's at.
Yeah. I'm originally from Louisiana, and my best friend, right before I moved away, was from here. And I went to LSU for 2 years and I transferred to college in Nashville, and he moved back here with his family.
Wait, you went to LSU?
Yep.
How old are you?
Well, I don't like to reveal.
Oh,
no, I just turned 31 last week.
So okay.
I'm.
So you didn't go to school with Shaq?
No, but I remember going to.
Isn't Shaq like kind of old?
He's like 36, maybe 37.
I remember going to an exhibition game that he played, and he like broke the rim, and it was a big deal. And my high school Spanish teacher actually taught him at LSU. She would like to tell us all that, but.
Wait a second.
It's random.
Wait a second. This is totally off. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Now
you went to Shaq has only broken one rim. And this is at an LSU exhibition game.
You were at that game. Yeah.
Well, you were a kid though.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, dude. I just read his biography. And that like that was a big deal when he shattered that rim.
It was a big deal.
And now there is a statue out in front of LSU of him like shattering a rim. It's like a huge statue.
And you saw it live.
I did.
Dang, Dave.
I'm like, that's a big fella.
I'm sorry. I'm done.
No, it's good.
Keep going, Kevin.
So Shaq shattered the rim. Now, did that shatter your mind?
I was like, maybe one day I'll shatter a rim.
Yeah. Have
just
you?
Like that guy. No, but I'm just kidding. No.
So you move to Fresno. And so why?
Okay, so yeah. So I'm in Nashville. I finished up. College at Belmont, and I was kind of in between jobs and wasn't sure where I wanted to go yet. And Aaron, my friend, was here, and his church had just built a new, they just like renovated their church and installed this crazy sound and tech system, and they didn't know quite how to do it and needed some help. And so he's like, hey, do you want to, maybe we can get him out here. So they flew me out here for a week to train their guys and fix some issues. And after a couple of days. They're like, why don't you move here and we'll pay for it? But we can't hire you because we don't have any money. But here's a random person you can live with, and we'll make food for you. It was kind of crazy. But I realized as I was packing up to come back or to move, you know, to fly back to Nashville, I was actually sad about it. I'm like, I kind of want to stay because in Nashville, it's just like one other guy out of thousands that does audio and plays guitar or whatever and not really serving a purpose. But like here, I could help these people and fill a need that they had and like peaceful. And it's just like, I really wanted to do it. And God opened that door and closed all the other ones. And so there you go. So that's why I moved here.
That's cool. Now, have you always, you've always done music?
Oh,
like your family, do they do music? Like you guys have tambourines at the kitchen table and stuff?
No, my sister and I, well, she started piano a little bit before I did. I started when I was in like fifth grade. She started a year ahead of me and I wanted to like outdo her. So I'd always try to like learn her music and she'd get really mad.
Would you be better than her?
I am now, but only because she stopped. Like she quit it. She gave it up after she got into high school and I kept with it. But it was like we had this it looked like a regular upright piano, but it was electric, so you could play with headphones.
Yeah.
But it looked like a real piano. And so I would, without her knowing, have headphones on, learning her music that she would keep hidden. And then once I had it memorized and I could do it, I would just yank the cord out of the head of the piano and just play it as loud as I could.
That's so, awesome. She would, boom.
Make it look like it's your first time.
Yeah. And she would come up and like rip the music away and I'd just keep going as I had already memorized and she gets so mad.
Wow. That's so cool.
That's little brothers and their sisters, I guess.
That is like, that's a ridiculous way to mess with your sister.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad now.
But no, but that's great. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen The Other Guys.
Mm-hmm. The movie, The Other Guys.
The movie, The Other Guys, where he's like, you learn to dance like that just to make fun of people?
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Because like, it's, anyway, but I can see, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, hey, we, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, all right, Dave, I love having you here. And, no, seriously, Dave, you are such a treat to have here and you do help the show tremendously. And I know myself, Kevin, Sarah and Jane, we do appreciate you. And, you know, I think our guests and our listeners, they appreciate you as well. And so I know that it's just understood that if it goes well, then hey, good job, sound guy. But you know, I appreciate you.
Well, all thanks, Christian. I appreciate that.
Well, yeah. Are we clapping? Are we doing golf clap?
All right.
Yeah. Movie clap, like the slow.
That's right. Well, hey. Yeah. That is the end of this segment. That's weird to say that.
Have they ever heard us call these segments?
You've been listening to us talk for a little while, and pretty soon we're not going to be talking.
Right. So here comes the not talking. So stay tuned for some announcements, and then we'll close out the show.
All right, and we're back. Thanks for joining us, you guys. We're going to close out the show with just a few announcements. Our two worship songs that are available right now are still online, ready to be downloaded. Kingdom Come and Invitation. And Dave Johnson was the producer of those songs. So a big thank you to Dave Johnson. And that's all we have going on right now, really. Thanks
we got
for
Discovery.
Oh, we have Discovery. I forgot. Discovery, March 24th at the North Campus. So if you are interested in learning more about The Well, becoming family here at The Well, or just hanging out with Brad for 4 hours and getting two free meals, breakfast and lunch, you can sign up at your local iHub or online, or you can call the office and get signed up. It is March 24th from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. here at the North Campus. Make sure you check us out on the Facebook, facebook.com/thespoutcast.
Facebook's.
Right? Yeah. Facebook.
It's make sure you check us out on the Facebook.
It's actually just Spoutcast.
Oh, just Spoutcast. Just the Facebook page. I don't know.
Right. Your kids with all your Facebooks and your Twitter tweets.
Also, if you want to email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. You can complain about how much Sarah talks on the show.
Oh, wow.
And,
wow.
Also, remember, we have a Twitter account and an Instagram account. Just search Spoutcast. You'll find us on Instagram or Twitter. Remember to download us on iTunes as well and leave us a review. We like reviews on iTunes. And yeah,
as long as it's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a negative one keeps us in check, though.
Well, why don't you just email us those ones? Don't put those ones on the iTunes.
Make it public.
All right. I'm just saying, you know.
Whatever. No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's like the old 60-year-old men that like dye their hair black or whatever. And it's like, look, just have a little gray here every once in a while just to know that, like, hey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know where you're going with that.
Just from Angel commercial.
Well, I'm just saying, like, hey, we got to keep ourselves in check. It's like, I'm going to know you dye your hair when you're 60 unless you give a little gray, like a Clooney look, where you're like, okay, all right. Maybe he's not dyeing his hair. So it just keeps us in check, all right?
Okay, fine. Give us any feedback that you want to give us.
All right. This is The Spout. We are out.